Check out We Are Cavan Football Podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan Podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy Super Value GA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we're going to be looking ahead to the opening round of the Laurie Maher Cup as Cavan hurlers get ready to take on Warwickshire in Kingspan Breffni tomorrow at midday, 12 noon. Cavan with the home advantage, obviously. Great opportunity for Cavan. Coming up, joined by Paul Fitzpatrick, sports editor of the Anglo Celt. It's not just going to be me yapping. But great opportunity for Cavan, but Warwickshire, after winning the league, beating Fermanagh in that league final, there's a bit of momentum behind Warwickshire here.
There is, yeah. Warwickshire are rated as 5-1 joint third favourites to win this competition, which is probably value, to be fair, because I think I think this is a strong Warwickshire team. We're going to hear from Shane Briarty, Cavan hurler, now in a minute, and he was making the point that they've picked up a good few players, and they're going to be very strong. Like, they won by 119-2.5. Or sorry, Fermanagh beat Warwickshire by 119-2.5 in the group stages. But Warwickshire came back and won the game by 118-113 in the league final. So that was a big turnaround. So they've picked up players. That didn't just happen by accident. Warwickshire have got quite a few new players. It was 12-5 coming up to half time in that game. So they were dominant throughout in that game, really. So that tells you that Warwickshire are strong. They're probably ahead of Fermanagh, maybe. And Fermanagh are second favourites, I think, for the Laurie Maher at the moment. Longford are second favourites at 4-1. Then Fermanagh and Warwickshire are both 5-1. So, Shane, you'll hear from Shane here. This is potentially the biggest game in the group for Cavan. They're to have it at home. But last year, he said, sitting in East Midlands Airport for hours, Cavan were in a low place, having lost to Warwickshire over there. Warwickshire are stronger this year, but Cavan are stronger too. So, a huge game tomorrow in Breffni.
It's absolutely massive, yeah. Let's hear from Cavan cornerback Shane Briarty.
Okay, so after the highs of Clonus last Sunday when the Cavan footballers beat Monaghan, the Cavan hurlers are out this weekend and hoping to replicate that with a big championship win of their own. Delighted to be joined on the line by Shane Briarty, who is playing cornerback all year for Cavan hurlers and just home from training in Breffni ahead of the big game. Shane, how are you feeling? Things looking good?
Yeah, looking good. Hopefully we can follow in the footsteps of the footballers. It's a great win. Great to see you. So, looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a different layout with the kind of league structure starting off. But yeah, we're mad to get started with championship.
Watching Cavan footballers last Sunday, I suppose I'd say a good few of the hurlers, their minds were going forward to this hurling match this weekend. And would that have given you inspiration or a bit of feel good factor from it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When both squads are training most time in Breffni and meet passing each other in gyms and in the canteen. It's great to see. Even had a few of the Kilkenny boys saying what a great win it was. So it transcends borders.
Looking back at the National League, Shane, before we look at the Championship, would it be fair to say Cavan exceeded expectations? Going up a division this year, having won Division 4 last year, to compete so strongly, to get to the semi-final, to give Sligo a really good argument in the semi-final as well. You must be very happy with how the league went.
Yeah, absolutely. After winning the league final last year, if you had asked what we want to do in the league next year, everyone would have said just survival, really. But at the start of the year, we sat down, had our plans and talked about our goals and stuff. And Ollie had pushed. Ollie said, look, there's absolutely no reason why we couldn't make a semi-final. And it was kind of important as well that we did make a semi, because with the restructure next year, we'd actually end up in Division 3. So I think if we had a finished fourth or even been in the relegation playoff, we would have been back in the bottom division anyway, regardless, even if we stayed up. So with the restructure next year, we will be in Division 3 with Sligo, Mayo, and then a couple of teams from the division above. So it's great to keep the quality of games up in the league. It really brings us on.
Like there were some great results in the league, obviously. To highlight possibly the win over Armagh, which Kevin Carney said to me was the first time in his memory that Cavan Hurlers beat Armagh. That was unbelievable. But in general, you seem to be gathering momentum and improving as the competition went on. Is it fair to say, Shane, that this is the strongest Cavan hurling squad you've been part of?
It would have to be. After that league performance, you'd have to say it definitely is. And it's only getting stronger, to be honest. There's lads there tonight. The squad is going to be as strong as it can be going into the championship. We have a few injuries kind of coming near the end, and obviously Canis isn't as bad as first thought. So come the middle of this championship, we're going to have an outrageously strong squad, the strongest definitely that I've been involved with.
And I suppose it's no secret at this stage that the Cavan Hurlers want to win the Laurie Maher Cup. I see you're the bookies favourites, and you've ticked a lot of the boxes. You've played a high level of league hurling. You've already experienced Croke Park, played in the final. You've won the Division 4 league last year. So is it a case that you're putting all your eggs in that basket, that you're quite happy to say that the aim is to get your hands on that cup?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the aim, like, kind of from the last couple of years, really. It might have been maybe pie in the sky stuff, we were just saying it, or maybe in the past it might have been, getting to Croke Park. That was the aim, was getting to Croke Park. That was always the talk. Whereas now, there's absolutely no doubt in the minds of anyone involved in the squad. From the minute we started training in November, it was all geared towards Laurie Maher.
You did a great interview with Dennis Walsh in the Irish Times there during the year, and you were making the point about the setup, that it's so professional. There's so much opposition analysis and strength and condition and everything that you come to expect from an elite sporting setup. And you made an interesting point. You said if it wasn't, you wouldn't be there. So will you tell us just a bit about the setup and what is it that makes it so good?
Well, as I suppose I said to Dennis at the time, like, it is, like, I honestly couldn't see where things would need a major improvement. Like, from, so obviously Tom Mannion's trainer, Ollie's manager, Keith is kind of looking after all the strength condition, Keith Green, and any running involved. And then we have Adrian McCarron, Niall McCarron background doing video. And then obviously we're heavily supported by the board as well. We have lots of different coaches throughout there the last couple of weeks down training and stuff like that. So hugely, hugely professional environment. Like, Tom is top notch. Like, he honestly we're doing well to have him, to be honest with you. Like, training, opposition analysis, you couldn't be asked for more. And as I said to Dennis, like, yeah, people might have maybe, I don't know, preconceived idea of maybe what it might be like. Like, as I said, and you probably know me as well, like, I wouldn't be there if I thought it was just in getting a bit of gear and going home. Like, that was not the aim of going in, and it's not the aim of anyone else in there. Like, anyone in there, maybe in the past, even maybe when I first went in, those years maybe there might have been lads hanging around, but this year, and Ollie, I think, made it quite a small squad this year. Like, everyone's there for one reason only, and it's to improve Cavan Hurling and push on, hopefully get to where you want to get to.
In terms of the breakdown in training, so obviously we know Tomás Mannion and Ollie Bellew, they're almost, Ollie's the manager, but they're nearly a double act at this stage. We know that we see them on the sideline together. They're often pictured together. Ollie's always mentioning Tomás in his interviews and so on. So who takes the bulk of the training, or how does that actually play out?
Tom would take 90% of the training, and Ollie would always come in after maybe drills and stuff like that and say, maybe this is what we need to change, or this needs improvement, or this is going well. He's the most positive man in the world. So usually things are going well, and there's a positive slant put on the things we need to improve. And then even this year in the games, it's the same. Like, Tom has kind of stayed more on the line, and Ollie's maybe gone back up to the stand to keep an eye on things. So yeah, they're excellent double acts and work very well together.
And looking back, I suppose, to the off season and that harebrained idea that emerged from Croke Park, that they were going to disband four or five county teams that didn't have the requisite number of clubs or whatever, and there was a serious backlash against that. Was that referenced much within the squad And is that a motivating factor, would you say, to kind of prove a point that, you know, you were disrespected in some way?
Not really. It wasn't really referenced much because it came so far from left field. We were training away, we were in the gym. I remember Ollie coming in, maybe he got a text from someone up the north that had heard on the grapevine that this was coming, a proposal was coming from Leitrim or something like that, and I thought nothing of it. And then it kind of started to get momentum in the media and stuff. And then we didn't really know. Players started to panic to think, well, Jesus, are we wasting time here? And like, that was in November, no pitch sessions. We were doing heavy runs and two gym sessions a week. And we were starting to wonder, well, is there a reason for doing this? But then obviously it came out that if it was going through, that it would be from 2025. So kind of the panic kind of passed at that stage. But then obviously it was great to see the support we got from maybe bigger counties, from like Hurling people across the kind of media, papers, Sunday Game, stuff like that. And like the Sunday Game gave it a great shout out, and they had one of the Loud lads on talking about the importance of it. But yeah, no, it wasn't really referenced as a motivator. I suppose it's great to see now, looking back, that look, we're after finishing well up the leagues, we're finished well ahead of teams maybe who people would have said, oh, they're doing great work with Hurling. So it wasn't a huge motivating factor, but it's definitely nice to look back in the league and show that, well, look, I suppose we're well above where people may have thought. And to be honest, just from the word go, it was such a crazy idea that you would promote Hurling by taking away the flagship team, the only team really the kids can go and see. The kids can go and see, wear a cabin jersey, get their Hurling signed. Like, it's such a nice thing to see after the games. Really picked up last year and this year. Like, just huge amount of kids looking for photographs and sign Hurling after the game, which is something that obviously you'd never dream of happening. It's obviously to see it happen on TV after big games. Maybe their parents are interested in Hurling, or they're coming from a club with a strong Hurling tradition, and they're copying the kids and they're straight on getting photographs and getting Hurling signed, which is something I thought I'd never see, to be honest with you.
That's brilliant. Yeah, no, it's a nice image, and it's good reward for the lads too, to see that the youngsters are looking up to them. Last year, Shane and the Laurie Maher, a bad result away against Warwickshire proved quite costly for Cavan. Warwickshire coming to Breffni now this weekend, and you were telling me off air that they're probably stronger, that they've picked up a few good players on the transfer market in the last couple of months as well. So what can you tell us about Warwickshire? You expect them to be strong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I put it down as probably the biggest game of the year, to be honest. They're after coming from a great league win over Fermanagh, a lot of people have said, well, it's probably between the two, Cavan and Fermanagh. Well, obviously Warwickshire kind of very much upset that idea a couple of weeks ago in the league final. Fairly convincing win, from what I can remember, over Fermanagh. And then obviously Tom has done his research. So I've heard they've picked up a few different players, a couple of Galway lads, Conway lad from Kerry, who's played a lot of Hurling with Kerry, inside forward. So yeah, they'll be very, very strong. They always are. The English teams are kind of very hard to plan for and kind of play against, because you don't know what's coming. They could arrive at anyone, really. But usually unbelievably strong down the middle. Everyone down the middle probably would have played great standard of Hurling for a county. So absolutely nothing sharpens the mind like sitting in the airport in East Midlands Airport for 9 hours last year after the game, your tail between your legs, thinking, where are we going here? So absolutely nothing to take for granted. They're definitely the strongest of the English teams this year, and probably one of the threats definitely for the cup.
Okay, well, hopefully a good Cavan crowd turns out, with the footballers doing so well now, the Hurlers doing so well, things are on the up for Cavan football in Ireland, and hopefully we see a big crowd turning out in Breffni for that game against Warwickshire this weekend. Shane, the very best of luck with it, and we might catch up with you again as the Laurie Maher progresses.
No worries, Paul. Thanks very much.
Brady's Arva Limited, main dealers for Volkswagen cars and commercial vehicles, have been serving the needs of the motoring community in Cavan, Longford, Leitrim, Monaghan, Meath and the surrounding counties for over 50 years. A family owned and family run business, Brady's are famous for their long association with the GAA. If you're looking for a new or used car or commercial vehicle, check out Brady's Arva Limited. They provide an unrivaled sales and after-sales service and are open 6 days a week. Brady's Arva Limited. Get on the winning team today. See www.bradysarva.ie for more details.
There will be an element of wanting to right the wrong. Like last year, Cavan beat the two finalists for the Laurie Maher. It was the likes of the loss to Warwickshire that really cost them that competition, and they you'd imagine they're going to be coming out really, really hurting. But there's still some injury concerns coming into the game.
But Canis Maher's the obvious one. He's the captain of the team. He's top scorer for the last few years. And it's going to be a few weeks before he's back. But originally there was fears that he might have done his cruciate, so it's not as bad as that. Brian Fitzgerald, I think, has a knock as well.
Yeah.
So that's two good scoring forwards Cavan are going to be missing. But that said, you know, that's why you have a panel, and this is the strongest Cavan hurling panel in a long, long time. So you'd hope that they can soak up the losses to those, get off to a winning start. Like, Shane has made no bones about it. They're trying to win the Laurie Maher. There's no playing to pour him out or anything. They've been in a final. The thing of let's get the Croker or whatever, that's all in the past now. They want to get the Croker, obviously, but they want to get there and win it. But to do that, they've got to be consistent in the group and make sure they get through. Mm-hmm. They've shown that they're good enough to beat the best teams in the Laurie Maher the last couple of years. I think they have taken it to a new level this year. Liam O'Brien in particular is a big help. And they've brought through others, and they've brought through youngsters as well. And Sean Keating is back there going well too. So they've got options, they've got a panel. It's at home. Whoever Warwickshire have rounded up, I'm sure they're very strong. They've got a few Galway lads. Mm-hmm. They've got a good carry forward as well.
Yeah.
But you'd be hopeful. Cavan are, I think, 11-4 on to win the game, which seems very short. But hopefully they can continue their run of form, because they are going very well.
Yeah, definitely are. Like, the only losses that they had were against much higher championship division teams in Mayo and Sligo, so they've, you know, and they've pushed on to Division 3 for next year, so there's a great momentum behind this Cavan side at the minute, and really pushed Sligo to the pin of their collar in that league semi-final. So there's a lot of positivity around the group. They start off like in a 5-game group. Again, the luck of Cavan, we get 3 away games out of 5, only 2 at home, Warwickshire at home and Longford at home. So you're talking about the second and third best teams on the bookies' opinion anyway.
Maybe it's better to have them at home though.
True.
You might have taken that, to get the two best teams at home and try and get two home wins. Like Cavan beat Armagh at home a few weeks ago, which was a real high watermark for Cavan Horland to beat Armagh. So
they're unbeaten at home in Kingspan Breffty this year, so they've done what the footballers can't seem to do at any grade, is make it a fortress. So, and they're really making it. So all under 16s are in free tomorrow. Again, it's that old bring your hurls, bring your slitters, you can go out at half time. And there is a good buzz about these games, I have to say. There's a real good entertainment value at it. So I'd encourage people to get in 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon. There's really nothing else to be at, so you'd be better off get in, watch these boys play. I know that hurling is on a bit of an upward curve. It's on quite a momentum upward curve at the moment, because you have a lot of new clubs are after starting off. McNugent have started off hurling there. I know we started in Drumalee and we've had great numbers out. So be looking forward to seeing a lot of people in to support the hurlers tomorrow. So
on the home advantage thing, and I asked Shane about the footballers, like, and you know, would that give an inspiration to the hurlers? Because, and he was making the point, yeah, that they rub shoulders every night, they're kind of training together, they meet each other in the gym, and you know, they all support each other. Just on the footballers, like, if you actually look at it, since Cavan played Armagh in the league last year, since Cavan played Fermanagh in the league last year, so that's Fermanagh, Armagh, Laois, Meath, Down in the Tailteann, Donegal, and Fermanagh again. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Seven. Cavan have only won one of our last 7 home games.
Laois.
Which was Laois in the Tailteann, which is unbelievable in the football. And so Tyrone are up next at home.
By the time we've changed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's very, 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 very good at maths. And I would be talking about backing teams, and you know, there hasn't been a draw in so many games, and I'd be like, there's one due, and he's saying, that's nonsense. You know, every right. game is a standalone event. And he was saying that, like, that's nonsensical. But he did quote some mathematical law to me that over a long enough time frame, there is some rule that this has to come in. So I don't know. Are Cavan footballers going to be beaten again at home? Is it going to be one win in eight?
Well, look, we're going to be previewing all that on the Diehards podcast next week. So we'll not get into that too much. And we could break out the stats. There's evidence it's going that way. So there is for us. But with regards to the hurlers, they're on a good home win, and hopefully they can continue tomorrow. So we'll have all the reaction on the Diehards podcast next week over on patreon.com/wearecavan. If you haven't already subscribed, you can tune into the Diehards podcast, where this week we had our matchday diary from Cavan's win over Monaghan down in Clonus. We had our reaction podcast where we heard from Vinnie Corey, Jared Smith, Paddy Lynch, and Cavan manager Raymond. Did you like my team tune to that podcast?
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah, the people were asking, were you on the saxophone? I said, no, more of a flute player.
This is a family podcast.
But we have that. We have our ladies podcast. We have our look back on the Cavan Miners defeat to Derry, and Cavan on the 20s win over Fermanagh. We heard from Larry Riley after that game as well. So loads over there on patreon.com/wearecavan if you want to subscribe to that one. Okay, on to the All County Football League results. We're down to round 3 in the league, coming in a whirlwind. Literally just the weather is a whirlwind. Last weekend, Saturday evening, you had a half where everybody was playing against, or half the teams were playing against the wind, and the other half where they got to play with the wind, and it caused havoc in terms of the results. But we'll start off with Division 1. And to give it its full title, Romer Energy All County Football League Division 1 at the weekend. The last games there were Castlerahan against Lara, 2-6 to Lara, 10 points to Castlerahan. At one stage, I think Lara were well in front in this game. And I remember thinking to myself, Castlerahan, I'm worried for them. But they battled their way back, but just didn't get the win in the end.
Yeah, it was 2-4 to a point at half time. Castlerahan did come roaring back into it and were only beaten by 2 points in the second half. Again, I'm sure the wind was a factor in both halves. On the Lara team, Jake Mills with 1-1, who's a good young forward. He's been showing up very well.
Yeah, good on the 20 championship last year.
Jack McKenna got a goal as well. Castlerahan, Kieran Caldwell, who was straight in after our minor team, very talented minor. He had 4 points. David Ritt and Oisin McConnell came on, so two of the war horses there. Coming back into it for the Castlerahan boys. Carl Cosgrove got 3 points and Cormac Daly got 2. Now, reports were sketchy last weekend, so we'll not be able to give huge detail on all the games.
Okay. You tell me if you have any details on Ballyhays against Arva. That was in Ballyhays, and the home side came away with an 8-point win here, 15 points to 7.
Yeah, it was 7-2 to Ballyhays at half time in this one. A good spread of scores around the field, but the main man for them was Michael Brady, who had 8 points.
Wow.
Yeah, good scoring. On the Arva team, they are down bodies, but a lot of their main men were playing. The two Morris brothers were playing, Johnny McCabe, Fimber McAvenue, Kevin Boucher. They were all playing. They were missing some of their obviously their county men. They were missing Conal Shorten as well. So they're not at full strength yet, but solid win there for Ballyhays, 15-7.
Mullaghorn in what sounds like a terribly exciting game, were beaten by Kingscourt, a travelling Kingscourt out in Our Lady of Lourdes Park in Mullaghorn. 5 points to Mullaghorn, 7 points to Kingscourt. Did they both play against the wind in both halves?
It sounds like it. The wind was the torrent. Yeah, I didn't hear anything about this game, only that it was very low scoring.
There wasn't a lot to hear about.
No, there wasn't.
Cuhullins against Knockbride, a repeat of last year's Division 2 final up in Edwin Carlin Community Park. Cuhullins getting the better of Knockbride on this occasion. 2 goals and 12 to 13 points.
Yeah, Knockbride, I suppose, down bodies, down their under-20s, and a few lads away at Trimble as well. Yeah, so they've had a tough opening few games as well. Like, they obviously had crushed a lot of first day. They have the Gales this weekend, and then they had that rematch of the league final with Cuhullins away from home, which wasn't going to be easy either. So
it's Division 1. There's nothing easy.
Nothing easy, no, certainly.
Absolutely not. Cavan Gales against Gowna. 2 goals and 10 to Cavan Gales. 2 goals and 7 to Gowna up in Terry Kyle Park. Gael's first game of the year for them, a postponement and a concession, and they come away with a win against the county champions, albeit an awful lot of Garner players missing.
Yeah, and the Gaels had a big lead, I think, at half time in this game. Garode McKernan was very prominent for the Gaels, back in action, having been injured. Like, that must be Garode's first competitive game in probably since the Talchin Cup last year.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't play in the club championship with injury, and seemingly played very well. Garner came right back into it and made, as you would expect from Garner, they certainly don't bow down to anyone. Conor Madden with two goals.
Yeah. So four goals in three games.
Yeah, so maybe he's making a point, you know, he's not on the county at the moment, and it sounds like he's one of the form forwards in the club ranks. So I think the Garner will be happy enough that they made a game of it. A lot of players come back, but the Gaels will be happy to get the win in that derby. And I heard it was a fiery one as well, as you'd expect. Town against country, Gaels yeah. against Garner. It's a game I would have loved to attend, actually.
Plenty of bite along the line, I heard as well. But I heard that Keenan Donoghue had a good game of corner forward, and Garode obviously playing very well. Luke Malloy in the middle of the field, a very good game. But from Gowna, Cormac Brady, very good game, very solid game. Maybe another player with a point to prove. But yeah, it's a good win for the Gaels. They'll be delighted with that. It sets them up that all of the hard work they've done so far must be moving them in the right direction.
The Gaels started the league very well last year, I think, as well, and then lost their form a wee bit. So we'll keep an eye on the Gaels. They're one team that it's just hard to get an exact handle on the Gaels at the moment. The trend in recent years would suggest the Gaels are just aging a wee bit and so on. But yet, a lot of teams in the county would give the right arm to be where the Gaels have been in the senior championship.
Their team. So I was just looking back. Okay, Kieran Flynn in goals, but I think Evan Fortune was in there, who would be the right age, you know, mid-20s. Evan McIntyre, Emmanuel Shea, who Michael Veal is back, former County Minor captain, hasn't played in a few years, but is back in it. So there's a fair, Jack Tully had a very good game actually as well, only 22 years of age. So there's a bit of youth that maybe had gone untapped in the last few years that might be coming in. And obviously then they'll have Favour Shea, who to come back into the team from the under 20s, and a few others. So it'll be interesting just to see how, you know, they're definitely getting big numbers up at training. We're hearing all about the massive numbers that they have at training. So, and if Luke Malloy's younger brother, who's a monster of a kid, Dylan Malloy as well, he's back in and physically very, very strong. So, yeah, it'd be interesting just to see, can Seanie and Micheál maybe bring the youth in and increase their ability or their levels on it. But, okay, final group. Our final game in the group, Ramy United had a comfortable win over Lachlan down in Croke Park, 2 points to Lachlan, 2-8 to Ramy United. Ramy United starting the league unbeaten, so no real surprise here, is there?
No, again, Lachlan down a lot of bodies as well, so didn't hear much on this game, to be honest.
Okay, Rammer sitting top of the table, 6 points from their three games. Then we have a wrath of teams from Cúchulainns. From Cúchulainns in sixth position up to Gowna in second position, all with 2 wins under the belt. And then it's Mullaghorn, Crushalagh and Ballyhays with 2 points to their name. Two of them, Mullaghorn and Crushalagh, have 2 games played. Ballyhays have 3 games played. 1 point each for Arva and for Castlerahan. And at the bottom of the table, it's Lachlan and Knockbride with no wins. Knockbride have 2 games played. Lachlan have 3 games played. Okay, on to the Brady's Arva All County Football League Division 2 results. Ballina, 2-9 to Beltorbet's 10 points. That was Saturday evening in Ballina. Good win for Ballina here.
Yeah, good win for Ballina, because Beltorbet, you know, there's a lot of talk. Beltorbet have been putting in a huge effort this year. They're getting good numbers out as well.
That's the first game they didn't score a goal in. I think they have 8 goals in their first 2 games, have they?
Then caught them the previous week.
That's
so
right.
They'll be disappointed to have lost 2 in a row. But good win there for Ballina, to be fair.
Yeah, they scored where was it? The first day. Yeah, 5 goals against Templeport, 3 goals against Den, but they didn't score a goal against Ballina, and Ballina hitting two was a big plus for them. So they pick up that win. Den got the better of Shercock, low scoring affair, 2-4 to 8 points. Kieran McCarville refereeing out in St. Matthew's Park. So that's 2 wins in a row for Den.
Yeah, that was a good win for the Den lads. 2-4 to 8. Very, very windy conditions. And it looked like Shercock might have done enough. Niall Clerken got a late score, which looked like it might have been the winner. But then came back, and Ben Connolly fisted home after a long range pass from Mark McSherry. Connolly had a very good game, I think, for the Den boys. It was tight the whole way through, but Ben finished with 2-2, and that was key. On the Shercock side, I think Niall Clerken is the captain this year, and he had 4 points.
Playing well. Playing very well, apparently. Niall Clerken. Okay, Templeport were beaten by Lavi. This was down in Templeport. 1-12 to 1-5. It was 6 points to 1 point in favour of Lavi in the first half. Who was playing with the wind, Paul?
Templeport.
They were.
Were
yeah.
they?
Yeah. And that was kind of the losing of the game, really. Templeport terrible. Same story in terms of terrible in front of goal. Just not able to finish chances, not able to score the chances they're creating. Lavi scorers, Shane Tierney, Dara Jordan, Ronan King with 2 points, James Shorten with a point, and Darren Jordan with a second point there in the first half. And then in the second half, there was a black card to Benjamin Kelly for remonstrating with the referee. And in that period, Lavi added on 2 points. But in fairness to Templeport, James Murphy got a point, and Mark Feehy got a goal, a long ball in. He was cutting in off the sideline and stuck it in the back of the net. So by the time Kelly came back on, it was 1-2 to 8 points. So it was only a 3 point game. But then Lavi went up a gear, 2 points from James Shorten, one of them being a free, 1 point from Raymond King. Then there was 2 points from for Templeport, Dara O'Shea and Danny Maguire with a free each. And then Finn Buckley added a point or a goal for Lavi with 7 minutes to play in the game, and Chris Conroy and Darrow Shea traded frees at the end to see Lavi pick up another win in Division 2. Drumlane against Cornafane, 7 points to Drumlane, 1-10 to Cornafane. Cornafane always seemed to, or definitely recently seemed to start the league on a high, get enough points in the bag so they don't have to worry about the bottom end of the table, and they're doing the same this year.
Yeah, great start for the Reds. Didn't hear anything on this one, Damien.
Drumgoon and Ballymacue, 1-8 to Ballymacue, 2-3 to Drumgoon. So a 2 point win there for Ballymacue out in Sheelan Park. Good win for Kieran O'Malley's side, especially after Drumgoon beating Coothill. Maybe they're still tired, or the celebration's probably been done all week from Drumgoon beating Coothill. Speaking of Coothill, they played out a draw with Killigarry in a very, very heavy Hugh O'Reilly Memorial Park, 10 points apiece on this one. I didn't hear much on this, did you?
Yeah, well, I suppose Coothill were looking to bounce back from that defeat in the local derby, which we always say is one of the
fiercest
local derbies. Ended up with a 10-all draw, a late score from my man Connor Smith, got the draw.
You discovered him, do you know that?
Yeah, I discovered him in Ulster final in 2020, actually. I rang Mickey Graham that morning. I said, there's a lad here.
Don't know if you heard of him.
Connor Smith finished with 4 points. Other than that, there was nobody shot the lights out or anything like that in the game. A lot of different scores. Both teams had maybe 6-7 scores. And it was nip and tuck nearly the whole way in the second half. The first half, Coothill were winning. Or sorry, Killigarry won an 8-3. And they actually extended that lead then in the second half, made it 9-3 with a great score from Kevin Lovett. But Coothill finish very well, got it back to 9-all with a score from 9-all after Sean O'Connor scored. Killy McGahan then made it 10-9. Looked like they were going to get the win. But Connor Smith knocked over a free, and that was it, 10-all.
Just Connor Smith. What do you do with him? He's in good
all
form.
Sorts.
All sorts. Anything he'd let you. Okay, final game then in the Brady's Arva All County Football League Division 2 Round 3 was Killincare hosting Butler's Bridge. Butler's Bridge starting this game on fire. They hit 3 points in a row. Fintan O'Reilly with a free. Killian Leddy with a point from a kind of a half goal chance that was blocked down, and then Dermot McCurry with a point after 11 minutes. That was Butler's Bridge playing with the wind, but Killincare parked the bus, planted that 45 and made it really, really difficult for Butler's Bridge to get any scores, any more scores before half time. And they added 2 points themselves through Cian McGovern with a point and Emmett Fitzsimons with a free with 4 minutes to go until half time. Leave the half time score 3-2 in favour of Butler's Bridge, but Butler's Bridge had played with an absolute gale for the entire second half. And for the second half of the first half, Butler's Bridge didn't score, and Killincare took complete control. There was a goal, two wides early on in the second half from Butler's Bridge, followed by a Conal Mooney goal. Emmett Fitzsimons added a free, then Mooney hit two, Fitzsimons added another. Cian McGovern sent over a point, followed by one from Kevin McCabe, another, then Connor Sexton jumped in, and the final score of the game was Conal Mooney with a point. Conal Mooney finishing with one goal and 3 points to his name, so a really good performance from lad that we mentioned on the podcast over on the Diehard Service. We're talking about, he played County Minor with this year's Under 20s team. He himself and Cian McGovern actually both going well for Killincare at the moment, so good win for them. Okay, so that means that the table looks like this. Lavi are sitting on top with 3 wins from 3 games. Cornafin have 2 wins and a loss, or 2 wins and a draw, sorry, from their three games. Then we have Killigarry, Ballina, Killincare and Den all with 4 points. Sitting alone on 3 points are Butler's Bridge, and then we have on 2 points Beltorbet, Shercock, Coothill, Drumgoon and Drumlane and Ballymacue. And then at the bottom of the table is Templeport with no wins from their 3 games. Okay, on to the Imperial Bar All County Football League Division 3 results. Top of the pile, Drumalee against Swanland Bar. Drumalee coming away with a 4-11-2-2-11 win here in St. Philip's Park. Good win for Drumalee. Looking back on it, goals. So Drumalee started off after a Rory Curran free. Drumalee were awarded a penalty after 10 minutes. Cian Bourne sent the penalty over the bar, going for safety there. It just, you know, guaranteed the score out of it. Rory Curran, a lovely point from wide out on the left wing with his right foot, wind assisted, but Curran looking good. Then it was a free from Cian Bourne after Sean O'Kane was fouled. Damon Quinn added a point for Drumalee to put them 3-2. Rory Curran levelled the sides. Cian Bourne put Drumalee back in front. Then 2 points from Cian McGovern and a free from Rory Curran left Swanland Bar with a 2-point advantage with 5 minutes to go in the first half. Then Aidan Lee broke through for a goal. Really good work by Niall Young. And Cian Bourne set up an attack for Drumalee, and Aidan Lee finished the ball to the back of the net. And then Cian Bourne added another point in injury time to leave Drumalee ahead 1-5-6 points. Drumalee started the second half with gusto. Eamon Quinn with a point. Sean O'Kane with a goal. Good work by Tommy Walsh to set that up. Rory Curran replied with a free for Swanland Bar, but a free from Sean O'Kane and a goal from Cian Bourne after a lovely early long ball in from Philip McCardle. Dara Bourne hit a point for Drumalee to leave it 3-8-7 points with 11 minutes played in the second half. But Drumalee fell asleep a little bit then, and Swanland Bar came thundering back at them. Really good work rate from the Swanland Bar lads. Got Jared Klein free. He stuck the ball in the back of the net. 4 minutes later, he hit a second goal after a pass from Cian McGovern. But Drumalee responded with a Cian Bourne goal after really good work by Eamon Quinn. And Swanland Bar were then reduced down to 13 players. They had 2 players sent off in the moments after that goal. Drumalee leading 4-8-2-7. Swanland Bar came back with a point. Cian McGovern traded one with Sean O'Kane. Then Cian Bourne hit another point. Two points, one a free from Rory Curran. And then it was Cian Bourne and Rory Curran to finish off trading frees to leave Drumalee with a 6-point advantage. Second game was Mount Nugent going down to Kildallan. High scoring affair here as well. Exact same scoreline, 2 goals and 12 to Kildallan, 2 goals and 11 to Kildallan, 4 goals and 11 to Mount Nugent. So good win for Mount Nugent there.
Absolutely, yeah, because the talk was Kildallan were low on numbers, so they seem to have made a good game of it, but a good away win for Mount Nugent, surely.
Ballybor against Red Hills, 2 goals and 8 to Ballybor, 2 goals and 7 to Red Hills. I think that it was a last minute free, did I read in the Celt?
Yeah, so it was 1-6 to 1-1 at half time in favour of Ballybor. Red Hills came back with 4 points in a row, started the second half. But, excuse me, Reece Clark then, I think, scored a penalty. And it ended up that there was nothing between the teams coming into the closing stages, but Rory Farrell got a free in injury time to win it. So Farrell with 1-3, Clark with 1-2, and on the Red Hills team, Sean Martin with 1-1, and Rory Dunn a full forward with the other goal.
Torlach Mooney a corner forward as well. That's right. That's a big, strong, experienced full forward line, so lots to watch out for there. Mahara conceded to Drung in their game, and the final game was Shannon Gales, 1-8. Kill 21 points. Kill free scoring, and I see Sean Gaffney back in there as well, getting on the scoreboard for them. So Kill look like they're in good form.
Yeah, that's a good win. So, like, Shannon Gales, I suppose they struggle for consistency. Like,
yeah,
you just don't know what you're going to get. They'll be disappointed to concede 20 points at home. But yeah, you rightly said Sean Gaffney had 5 points, Niall McCaffrey had 6. On the Shannon Gales team, they only had 2 scorers, Keevy McGovern with 1-7 and Jack Moffat with a point.
Yeah. Okay, so that means that the Imperial Bar All County Football League Division 3 table looks like this. Drumilly are sitting on top with 6 points, 3 wins from the 3 games. Kill Shamrocks have only 2 games played. They have 4 points. Then we have Swanlambar, Ballyborough, Drung, all on 3 points. Swanlambar have 3 games played, whereas Ballyborough and Drung have only 2 games played. And on 2 points, we have Red Hills, Munster Connacht, Mount Nugent, and Killeshandra. Shannon Gales have a single point to their name, while Kildallan and Mahara are yet to get off the mark. Okay, that's all the results from the All County Football League. There are a full round of fixtures that take place on Saturday evening this weekend, so we'll be looking back on all those results on next week's podcast as well. So that's all we've time for, folks. Paul, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, Demo.
Enjoy the weekend, folks.